Welcome to Relevant Tones. I'm Lisa Dell. On today's program, I'm going to be talking about the California Festival, a celebration of new music, which is a statewide festival taking place from November 3rd to the 19th, with a mission to showcase the most compelling voices in classical music today through the performances of works written in the past 5 years. I'm joined today by three guests representing some of the most forward-thinking orchestras in the United States: Philippa Cole, Chief Artistic Officer at the San Francisco Symphony; Megan Umber, Chief Content Officer at the LA Phil; and AJ Benson, Director of Artistic Programming at the San Diego Symphony. Philippa, Megan, and AJ, thank you so much for being here. So before
Be
we
here.
dive into the Fe California Festival, can you maybe briefly, if possible, sum up what each of you do, your enormous jobs at each of your orchestras? Philippa, maybe you can start.
Sure. So I'm sure I'm very similar to the rest of my colleagues, but so I work hand in hand with our music director, Esa-Pekka Salonen, on the shape of our musical output, I guess is one way of putting it. Everything from, who we should see on the stage, pieces of repertoire, composer commissioning, musical collaborations within the community, how we utilize our orchestra, our chorus, what the shape of the season should look like, and the balance of the season, and trying to come up with a season each year that has sort of something for everybody in it. So you open the brochure and there's something for everyone. So I guess overall that's what I do. And then of course internally, I have a team that I oversee, and we're busy together putting all the pieces together, looking at what's happening tomorrow, what's happening next year, what's happening in 3 years' time, and trying to anticipate all the many curveballs that come our way. So I guess that's in a nutshell what we're doing.
Lisa, I think that Philippa summed it up. AJ and I have somewhat similar jobs at both of our institutions, and I'm going to put a bid in to say that we have the best jobs in America because we get to do what is most fun, which is talk about music, listen to music, explore music, and bring really, really great things onto our respective stages.
AJ, anything to add to all that?
Yeah, so it's pretty similar in my camp, here with in San Diego. In addition to everything Philippa and Megan have mentioned, I work also very closely with my colleagues all across the institution and kind of trying to connect the dots and go between the lines, live in that gray area where artistic informs and supports and kind of participates in all other aspects of the institution. So I think, I agree 100% with Megan. It's a fantastic role that we're really, really fortunate to be in.
Thank you. Well, now let's talk about the California Festival. This has been a gigantic undertaking with over 140 composers represented, 100 organizations participating. And really, this festival is unlike anything that's ever been done before on this scale. And it really highlights the vibrant and diverse landscape of classical music in California. Can you tell us more about this extraordinary initiative? Maybe what's inspired the music directors for each of your orchestras to come together for this collaboration?
I can throw out a little bit, and I'm sure AJ and Philippa will also join in. What I think is so cool is that this festival was born of friendships between Gustavo, Esa-Pekka, and Raphael, and their shared love of their adopted home state of California. They've all in some ways come of age here, and really, like when they sort of took stock one day and realized how special it is that the three of them were leading these three major orchestras. They wanted to talk about what could we do together rather than compete with each other, try to find a way to create something together.
I think what Megan said about not competing, certainly Esa-Pekka always talks about, we're all in the same boat. We are literally all in the same state, and just the wanting to do something together, and to kind of open those doors. So we're not just, you know, in our little silos in various different parts of the state, but just being a much more forward thinking, broadening the airwaves between us.
Yes, there is this element of removal of silos, right? It's exploring the links between the cities, the orchestras, kind of exchanging ideas and the camaraderie that already exists and shining a light of what's already happening here. Rafael talks a lot about the audiences that he's experienced, you know, he sees come through a program in LA, being here in San Diego, just the openness and the hunger, so to speak. He talks about it in terms of musical hunger of audiences and their interest in new things. You don't have a predetermined, I guess, set of ideas or traditions necessarily that we have to ascribe to.
And actually, I was just to add to that, maybe we'll come to it, but for me, like, one of the biggest highlights, you know, there's been so many highlights about putting this whole festival together, but one of the most brilliant things has been the every other week kind of group meetings with other members of the LA Phil and other members of the San Diego Symphony. And, you know, that's been really wonderful. You know, the three of us on this Zoom call at the moment, you know, we know each other quite well already, you know, and yet there are lots of other people within the organization who are working hard away who, you know, we don't necessarily meet with. So it's been the cross-fertilization between the three orchestras for me has been a major highlight.
I think absolutely one of the most special things has been working together, finding these bridges between our institutions, also acknowledging how they're different. And, you know, I'm continually reminded actually how regional live music presentations can be. And that's what really is so great about this festival and the way that Gustavo EP and Rafael decided to design it, because they knew they wanted to celebrate this state. They knew that they had this shared love of the new, of a vibrant living music community. But then they really didn't want to be in charge of telling people what they should play, or more importantly, what's important to play. So they came up instead with this idea of an invitation to bring what each institution thinks is the most exciting piece of new music or the most thrilling artist or composer to commission that they've heard or experienced in the past 5 years. And I think that's where you got this enormous groundswell, first of all, of enthusiasm. We were completely blown away by how many institutions signed up to participate. I think we started with some very modest goals.
Yeah, I think when we first started talking about it, I remember somebody saying, do you think it'd be amazing if we got to 50
absolutely.
Organizations? And here we are, like, doubled that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And my biggest fear that used to keep me up at night was that there was going to be 50 institutions all playing the same three pieces of music. And incredibly, and this is just sort of a testament to how California functions as a musical ecosystem, there was not one single overlapping piece of music. There are certain people that are on tour. Rhiannon Giddens is doing a few stops along the way, but you know, different orchestras were not all trying to play the same piece. So that's where you end up with these extraordinary figures of 140 different composers represented and such number of pieces. And I honestly can't even keep track at this point how many there are, but it's been really cool to see how each institution still has their own unique voice as a part of the festival.
I think for sure it was incredibly smart of our music directors not to kind of put too specific a rule on what people had to focus on. Or, you know, the moment you start having a theme or you start being really prescriptive, it really narrows down what can do, the volume of people who can participate. You know, and we really, really wanted as many people to participate in this as possible. And we wanted organizations of every shape and size to be able to participate too. So, you know, you don't all have to have the same budget as a major symphony orchestra. And by leaving the the kind of rule book at home and just, you know, allowing you to do whatever you felt would work within the last 5 years. It's really meant that everybody has their own carte blanche.
Yeah, it's really great just to see, you know, from the idea. I mean, I heard about it in January when it was first announced just to the music community in California, and then to see it go from this sounds exciting to the really big, robust calendar listing on the website. It's pretty amazing.
As a non-American, for me, looking at the map is fabulous because I've really started to work out where every place is in California.
Well, let's have a music break. This is the performance of Esa-Pekka's Nyx as part of San Francisco Symphony's March 2023 concerts at Davies Symphony Hall. We'll hear a 5-minute excerpt.
You touched on this briefly, the friendship between your music directors, but were the three of you already in communication just as colleagues before this was announced?
I'll start out. To a certain extent, absolutely. You know, we've met in the past in previous lives and organizations and just have remained in contact. I've only just started with the San Diego Symphony at the end of 2022. So this was probably within the first 3 weeks of my coming on board, was, you know, pulled into a phone call about this initiative and idea, and without any real preconceived notion about which direction it was going to take, was just blown away and amazed with the collaborative spirit, and kind of buckled up for kind of the ride that we've kind of been on around this whole project.
There was a great moment when it was realized that all three music directors were going to be in Paris together. And we were lucky enough to be able to coordinate all of our schedules to be there to do a set of interviews and to do a set of photographs for them. We did some planning. And it's kind of one of those hilarious things where, of course, you know, best plans, we're all in California 95% of the time, and yet somehow we're having this great meeting of the minds in Paris. But there have been these sort of special moments along the way of sharing sort of new friendships with AJ. Philip and I have known each other now for years, and Philippa worked at the LA Phil alongside of me and Gustavo for a period of time. I've known all three of the music directors for some going on 20 years now. So seeing them all come together has been incredibly special.
And you kind of know the California Festival is doing its bit. When I was at Heathrow Airport in August, and I was waiting for my plane to Edinburgh, and the person standing next to me said, "Hello, should we talk about the California Festival?" And it was Rafael Payer. So we had a nice chat on the way up to Edinburgh together. So it feels like a one big happy family. It's good.
That's great. That's, I think, like you said, that's what they wanted this to feel like in a sense. So it's great that it's really like a lived experience at the same time. So we have this idea that they had. AJ's pulled on a call 3 weeks after he starts. I mean, how did it go from the idea, this idea that they formed through their friendship, to we're going to get all regional organizations on a call, or we're going to, you know, send out an email? How did we land here, basically?
I remember one of the very, this might even be before you joined the girls, AJ, but I remember one occasion, Megan and I think we printed out a list from the AXO list of all the California orchestras. And it was a sort of 55-page list. And I remember going through it at that time thinking, crikey, there's a lot more organizations in California than I had anticipated. And then we also decided to, you know, make sure we could open it up to youth orchestras and really any kind of institution that had music at its core. And so there was initially, I mean, certainly from my point of view, I felt initially that this was a mountain that was going to be a tricky to climb. But actually, you know, I get by with a little help from my friends could not have been more an appropriate phrase to say for this, because we soon kind of, you know, brought in all our colleagues and, you know, and I think some of them, certainly my case, some of them were like, "You seem to know an awful lot about this." And I'd been living it in my head and actually not really talked about it with my colleagues. And then everybody came on board, and soon we realized it was quite a mammoth task ahead of us. But, you know, we all kind of chivied together made a start on the task at hand.
Yeah, I think there was a phone call that I recall that Megan brought up the idea of bringing along AXO, the Association of California Symphony Orchestras, as a partner in a way to approach and get the word out for a number of our music colleagues across the state, music-based organizations. And prior to that, we did have, as Philippa mentioned, a lot of discussion about criteria, what type of organizations we wanted to invite, what's the scope and the scale of the work that we're looking to focus on. We decided on 5 years, written within the past 5 years, and other, you know, all these other elements and thoughts around, you know, what would be, you know, our, again, the criteria and the focus. So I think having a brain trust of people from all across multiple organizations was super, super helpful to get our thinking as a group and a collective really focused on some of the nitty gritty details early on.
And there was definitely a hive mind effort. I mean, this is, you know, Lisa, you say, what happens after the music directors say, okay, let's do a project. That's really where the staff jumps in, right? And working together to figure out how these festival pieces come together, how do we all interact with one another? Philippa said it, and it's one of the things that stands out to me actually in the sort of decision-making process of this festival, was how in the world will we decide how we invite people? And I think it was Philippa who said, what about organizations with music at their core? Which felt so authentic and not a way to exclude anyone, but to make sense of the invitation. And that's been a guiding principle for all of us since then. What I love was when, you know, we obviously don't know every single person in the state of California. So we made this an open invitation, as in tell your friends, and here's how to get in touch with us as well. And we definitely saw that take off. So we had, you know, rounds of invitations and town halls and get to know yous and trying to bring people into the vision of the festival and invite them to participate. But then we also started getting messages from other organizations saying, hey, I heard about this. How do I get involved? And that's when I knew maybe things were actually starting to work. And this was going to be something that actually made sense on a shared website. And you can now see that today.
I opened the program with an excerpt of Gabriella Smith's Tumblebird Contrails, performed by the San Francisco Symphony, led by Esa-Pekka Salonen. Let's return to that now and hear the whole piece.
Yeah, maybe this is a good time to mention, as we're talking about the enormity of the festival, that you can go to cafestival.org and really look at the map or the enormous list, or just pick a day of the week between November 3rd and the 19th and see just how many performances are going on and the true scope. If it's easy, I mean, I don't think it's still easy to see when you look at the website, but you can get a sense of the scope.
It's still over. It's a bit overwhelming, actually. And I think that's part of the fun of it. I mean, obviously, we're all busy giving our own performances, but I've been trying to get out and see other performances of my colleagues in my local area. And it's been really cool to see how busy the performances are and what scenes they are. Like, I have seen so many composers from around the world that I haven't seen recently, that I haven't heard their music recently, and getting to actually reconnect with this awesome community has been pretty extraordinary.
Are there any highlights or unique aspects, whether highlighted from the behind the scene work? You're like, you're not going to see this, but this great thing happened behind the scenes, or just anything unique going into this festival that you're just thrilled to talk about?
Here in Los Angeles, well, there's so much going on, as there is everywhere. You know, I was at the Pianospheres concert the other night, which is at a super cool space called 2220, which is a new little performance space in LA. And they're actually presenting a variety of different groups during the festival. And the Pianospheres duo that performed included pieces by Sean Fryer and Nina Shekhar, who particularly stood out to me. It was just a really awesome, unique new piece that she had written a few years ago, right coming out of the pandemic. That stood out to me. I can't wait for it's next weekend. The LA Master Chorale is giving the world premiere of a new Billy Childs piece that's for string quartet, choir, and violin soloist. And Billy is actually playing on the piece. It's the first time he's ever done this, and he's performing in one of his compositions.
Wow.
Which I think is so cool. And then I'm gonna, give Gustavo, of course, some total love here. Gustavo has been an enormous champion of the Mexican composer Gabriela Ortiz over the past few years, and has two world premiere commissions of hers, including a major new score that she's writing, or she has written, and we're going to give the world premiere of next week, that's a look at feminism in Latin culture, and particularly about feminicide in Mexico City and the sort of the uprising of Latina voices, sort of raising their voices together and saying, stop, we can't stand for this. So
wow.
Powerful stuff. And I can't wait to see it all come to life.
I can go next. I'm particularly actually looking forward to two kind of youth programs, one of which is our own youth orchestra next week, who are doing a piece by Anna Thorsdottir, Metacosmos, which I think all of our orchestras have played in the past at some point. Wonderful Icelandic composer. I'm particularly glad we're doing it because we have a new piece of hers coming up in the next season. So I'm really glad we're highlighting that. But I'm also very happy that our local conservatory, the San Francisco Conservatory of Music, just across the road from us here. It's so funny with these organizations, they can be so geographically close to you, but sometimes, again, like you're in your own little bubble and you're a hamster on the wheel and you're so busy with what you're doing, you kind of forget to open your eyes and see what the people across the road are doing. And so they are doing a program next week, which has a world premiere by Vivian Fung and a new piece by Jonathan Bingham, who, I've been talking about Jonathan Bloxham, the conductor, to somebody else. Jonathan Bingham, who was a finalist in the Emerging Black Composers project that we do. So for me, that has a really, really nice kind of synthesis about it, because it's, kind of blending one project with another project. We have across the road here, the other side of the road, the Opera, San Francisco Opera, are doing a beautiful production of Omar at the moment by Rhiannon Giddens and Michael Abels. So, there's a lot just going on in my backyard.
Yeah, it's It's interesting. It's a tough question to answer because it's like, who do you leave out? Or you don't want to leave out anyone. But you know, in San Diego, just coming to town recently, I'm really impressed by the response and the kind of unique and initial, like, how can we be part of it? How can we find a way to sign on? We're working with our friends, the La Jolla Music Society, in a co-presentation of Elisa Weilerstein's Fragments. It's one of these wonderful programs that is so interesting and in a way very popular that it's also going to be in LA prior to coming to San Diego. And I think Rhiannon Giddens is also coming through town as well. So there's a bit of the touring cycle as part of that. Mainly Mozart, they're doing a couple of chamber programs at the Conrad in La Jolla. Really interesting works by women composers as part of that. A couple of elements of our own orchestra in the San Diego Symphony have decided to be a bit more entrepreneurial and strike out on their own. One of our violinists, who's also a composer, has started to craft a chamber opera focused on the scandal of Fat Leonard here in San Diego. And that was premiered earlier this week with a string quartet and a vocalist from the area, but string quartet is all members of the orchestra as well. We were really interested in finding a way to umbrella a lot of our community partners within the city. So last weekend, we hosted an entire day at our outdoor venue, the Rady Shell, not only a program with Raphael conducting members of the orchestra in a family concert style setting, but we also had a chamber music group, Art of Alon, with ties to our membership in the orchestra. We featured the San Diego Master Chorale in a performance, and it was thrilling to see so many families come out for the San Diego Youth Symphony. For us, the highlights on the San Diego Symphony's Masterworks programs, next week will be the world premiere of a work, A Dance Macabre, by Russian, actually Ukrainian Jewish composer, Vladimir Tarnopolsky. This week, we have a work that we've commissioned from Carlos Simon, a new concerto for orchestra for us. And he was also featured at UCSD's Art Power last night, his Requiem for the Enslaved, which was quite moving, very heavy, very meaningful. So that was, I was really honored to be there for that. And then last week, we had a whole plethora of, we had four living composers present, including the West Coast premiere of Billy Childs, his saxophone concerto featuring Stephen Banks. So just a few things in San Diego, and I missed a few, but that's kind of what's top of mind right now.
Well, that all sounds amazing. And as these halls are filling up with people to come and see and hear new music and maybe even interact with a living composer, it sounds like. What do you hope is a takeaway that for people with the festival? For anyone attending a California festival performance, what would you hope that they would come away with afterwards?
I guess for me, I always hope that people will come away from a concert, you know, with a curiosity and a kind of willingness to explore things that are perhaps outside their usual comfort zone, or rather what they think is in their usual comfort zone. So many times I will hear a member of the audience say, well, that piece wasn't too bad. You know, in a kind of, I was expecting a lot worse because it was a piece of modern music that I never heard of. And, you know, I think that, you know, seeing the living composers on the stage, we have a world premiere tonight, our living composer will be there, we'll be talking about it, you know, that is thrilling. And I think it's a way of people getting close to the art and close to the musicians. So I hope it gives the audience a sort of a lasting curiosity to explore more of the new.
Yeah, I would piggyback on that and say, particularly during this time, that they said, you know, they have, this sounds simple, but they've heard something new and something exciting. And that might be what they were expecting, and it might be something completely different. I also hope that people leave with an enormous sense of pride of being Californian or living in California. because I really feel that this could have only happened here in this state. And that's part of what makes these performances feel so special.
I think the opportunity for composers to be present, and in our case, not only are we inviting people to be on stage and acknowledge, get applause after their work, but we've gone ahead and organized a lot of video content to be screened immediately prior. And so what I'm hoping is that these moments of new works being presented and out there, not only are people going to walk away having discovered new works that they like, but they've been able to hear from composers as to what has made them tick, what inspires them, what they want the audience to hear in their work. Billy Childs talked about a moment in his saxophone concerto at the end where it's in honor of his mother, thinking about a moment in his life there. Tech-Soo Kim conveyed how he wanted the audience to think about being cheersing. So the whole work is all about clinking glasses, and you have orchestra members cheersing each other, a way to kind of start the program. Juan Colomer talked about in his work, which is called A Casual Walk to Extinction, the idea of the end of the human race. However, his focus is more on the fact that he was watching a climate summit, and the only outcome of this climate summit is that everyone agreed to meet again at another summit. And this whole laissez-faire approach to, the decline in the environment, and how he presented that. Next week, we'll have Vladimir talking about the Ukrainian conflict and how that has personally affected him. And Carlos, this week, is his piece is titled Wake Up, and it means a few things for him, waking up the orchestra. It's intended for the reopening of our hall, and he also wants the audience to ask the question, am I awake in our world right now? On a broader civic scale, I think what we're all hoping with this is the viewpoint of California now as one of the leading vanguard elements of new music, not only in the country, but the world. I mean, we think about the East Coast of the United States, we think about Europe, but there is already a lot happening here in California. And I think, as Megan said, it's something to be very proud of.
We don't have the audio from the premiere of Carlos Simon's Awake, but I do want to feature something from him. So let's hear the San Francisco Chamber Orchestra perform Breathe.
Thank you.
So once the festival is over, what's next? Where do you take all these, you know, great stories that you shared and the momentum of this festival? What happens next?
So the website will remain a living, breathing place. There's going to be some performance footage added. Not possible to include to get everything, but a sampling at the very least. We want it to be a place where people can come and hear new music and have it be a gathering place. There's some really great educational content on the website as well, a composer's toolkit. There's some really fun content sort of about the history of new music in California that we're calling excursions. And again, just trying to shine a light on the state and the great work that is currently happening and has happened here. As far as the festival itself, we'll see what happens next.
Well, great. Thank you, all three of you, for joining me and just sharing about your experiences. Is there anything else we didn't touch on that you want to make sure people know about the festival? I feel like we covered quite a plethora of information.
Well, yeah, I think there's something for everybody every night for the next week. So
yeah,
go out and explore live music.
Yeah, we looked at that in that lens. And I think towards the end of our planning process, we identified that we had an event across the state of California happening every single day of this entire festival, this whole period, which is great. More people should come to California to hear music. Yeah. Cultural tourism. We want people to hear what we're doing.
Definitely. I agree. And again, for anyone that didn't catch the website, to just explore and maybe, as Megan said, to see some footage afterwards, it's cafestival.org. That's all the time that we have. Philippa, Megan, and AJ, thank you so much for being my guest today and just sharing the incredible work that you're doing for contemporary classical music and just in California in general.
Thanks, Lisa. Thank you.
Relevant Tones is a production of Access Contemporary Music, a nonprofit organization with the mission of providing equitable access to the transformative power of music making. Find out more at www.acmusic.org. For Relevant Tones, I'm Lisa Dell. Thanks so much for listening.